Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatipata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Reading from Canto 7, Chapter 10, Verse 18, in the matter of Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tri Saptadi Pitapata Tri Saptadi Pitaputa Pitribhi sahate nagaha Pitribhi sahate nagaha Yat sadhasya kule jato Yat sadhasya kule jato Bhavan vai kula pavanaha Bhavan vai kula pavanaha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tri Saptadhi Pitaputha Pitribhi Sahate Nagaha Yat Sadhasya Kule Jato Bhavan Vai Kula Pavanaha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tri Saptadhi Pitaputha Pitribhi Sahate Nagaha Yat Sadhasya Kule Jato Bhavan Vai Kula Pavanaha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tri Saptadhi Pitaputha Pitribhi Sahate Nagaha Yat Sadhasya Kule Jato Bhavan Vai Kula Pavanaha
Pitaputha Pitribhi Sahate Nagaha Sadasya Kule Jato Bhavan Vai Kula Pavanaha Bhagavan Uvacha Tri Saptadhi Pitaputha Tribhi Sahate Nagaha Yat Sadhasya Kule Jato Bhavan Vai Kula Pavanaha
శ్రీభీషః తే నగః యత్సాధస్య కులే జాతో భవన్ వై కులపావనః.
మాతాజీ,
త్రిసప్తాభిః పితా పూతా పితృభిః సహ తే నగః యత్సాధస్య కులే జాతో భవన్ వై కులపావనా.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified." Purport. The word Trisaptabhi means 7 multiplied by 3. In one's family, one can count back 4 or 5 generations to one's great-grandfather or even one's great-grandfather's father. But since the Lord mentions 21 forefathers, this indicates that the benediction expands to other families also. Before the present family in which one has taken birth, one must have been born in other families. Thus, when a Vaishnava takes birth in a family, by the grace of the Lord, he purifies not only that family, but also the families of his previous births. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschato Dishatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So from this verse, the main significant key words, points, are that Shri Prahlad Maharaj, since he was born in this family, the dynasty of the Hiranyakashipu, the demonic dynasty, in the shloka, Narasimha Dev is saying that his entire dynasty, that means the forefathers, 21 fathers, fathers, father, that is 21 forefathers, will be purified. In this text, verse, purification is mentioned, not liberation. So we have to understand in this context, purification, liberation, moksha, all these aspects, will slightly go into detail on that point. Also, Bhagwan Narasimhadev is addressing Shri Prahlad as a saint and anagha. Anagha. Nagha means snake, like the poisonous snake, like Aghasura. Aghasura was a big snake, very poisonous snake. He not only wanted to kill Krishna, but the entire friends of Krishna. So here, Bhagwan Shri Narasimhadev is addressing Prahlad as Anagha, means he has no poison, no contamination, no dark features in his heart. Everything is clean. So that's why he is addressing Shri Prahlad Maharaj as Anagha. And also he is addressing him as a saint or a sadhu. So because of this pureness, Shri Bhagwan is declaring that Shri Prahlad is the right candidate who can purify his forefathers, not only one generation but 21 forefathers. But in the Tatparya, Sri Prabhupada is mentioning he is trying to explain something beyond the verse, direct verse. Here Srila Prabhupada mentions that, maybe I read this again. Before the present family in which one has taken birth, one must have been born in other families. Thus, when a Vaishnava takes birth in a family by the grace of the Lord, he purifies not only that family, but also that the families of his previous births. So we have to understand Srila Prabhupada's interpretation and deeper understanding. I am actually residing in the Middle East, in the desert. And you know, in the desert, you don't get such nice devotee association like in Radha Rajbiri temple, where all of you are very exalted. All the time you are engaged in devotional service. You are more or less immersed in devotion. So, it's like the paddy field, you know. When you grow the paddy, how do you grow the paddy? Anybody has experience? Kya karte hain? Lot of water is required. Why? No, paddy especially needs, the field needs to be flooded with water. When you put the new, the kisan kheti karte hain, so the seeds are then planted in a field which is flooded with water. Why is it? Why do you need so much water in the paddy field especially? The water actually suffocates the weeds. Because when you put water, the weeds also grow. But if you want only the paddy to grow, what do? You flood. So that the weeds are suffocated. When you want to extinguish fire, there are different ways. One is to suffocate the fire, then the fire gets extinguished. Also, you cut the source of the fuel, or you change the chemical composition of the fuel, then it's extinguished. So in the desert area, we don't get that opportunity to do so much devotional service openly. Like here you have a lot of devotion for preaching. Campus, you do a lot of campus preaching, you do a lot of prasad, food for life distribution. You have Acharya Vigraha of Radha Rajbihari. We don't have a temple everywhere. We have one temple, but that's not ISKCON temple, of Krishna temple. So I had this great opportunity to receive Mahavishnu Swami, because he was building Dwarika temple that time, and he came to Oman. Om Guru Maharaj says that Oman is a very holy place, because it's Om, you know, it's like Oman, and also the capital is Mathura. So Guru Maharaj has given the name Mathura Desh. So everything is seen from the spiritual perspective. So Mathura Desh devotees, we have only preaching underground. That means we have Rath Yatra, but it's indoor again, a different decentralized location, so that everybody gets chance to have the darshan of Jagannath and pull the ratha, and the heart, the contamination is Chetadarpanam Arjanam Mahadava Agni Nirvapanam. So the fire, the big fire, is extinguished in our heart. So that's the problem, that we are so much attached to this material world that we are continuously in this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. And then we have this problem of Tintab Dukh. So in any situation, first of all, so Mahavishnu Swami, I received him, and he was, at that time, I was a Karmi, of course, I was not initiated, and he called me by my full name, Madhusudan, that's my full name, but people call me by the demoniac name Madhu and Kaitava, you know, who were killed by Krishna to protect Brahma. So the demonic nature is there in all of us, in me, every one of us. And so Mahavishnu Swami, by the short association of a sadhu, can transform your consciousness so much. And Sri Radha Rajbihari ki jai, Gornithai ki jai, Sitaram Hanuman Lakshman ki jai. So he was mentioning that, I remember that he mentioned that Srila Prabhupada gave him this understanding that when a devotee is born in a family, then 10 generations before and 10 generations after can be purified. So that's also another Srila Prabhupada's instruction, and that was shared by Mahavishnu Swami. And so we will try to understand the aspect of bhakti and what did Shri Prahlad do to get to this situation when he is having that great fortune of seeing the Lord face to face. We have seen Srimad Bhagavatam is a galaxy of devotees, and we can learn so much from the case study. You know, in the management school, I went to IIM Ahmedabad, and we don't do much theory. We always do case studies. And the case studies, we try to analyze, diagnose the problem, define the problem, diagnose the problem. That's kind of a root cause analysis for everything. And then we know what the problem is, and then there's a solution. So it's a very scientific way the Srimad Bhagavatam presents. Sukadev Goswami is presenting to Parikshit Maharaj. He has only 7 days. And by doing this Shravanam of all these galaxy of devotees, practical life, what they did, by just simply drinking that nectar, Parikshit Maharaj was purified. A devotee always aims at purification, not really at liberation. We will also understand what is liberation, what is mukti, what is, and what types of liberations are available, what we should do to aim at those liberations. But a devotee always wants purification, not liberation. And that's the text here. Narasimhadev Bhagwan is explaining that because he is a sadhu and no poison in his heart, there is no black things in the heart, no contamination, no anartha in the heart, and that's why he's a right candidate to purify the entire dynasty. So we have to understand the significance of why do we need to be purified. I asked many of my karmi friends, they are happy, you know. There is no need for surrender, there is no need for purification. It's entirely godless. We don't need to surrender to anybody because they are in a good condition. Usually, if you make a chart, good or favorable or happy situation and a difficult situation. If you make a chart, happy situation means what? You have wealth, you have health, you have good relationship, harmonious relationship with your friends. So that's like a like the chart which will show you the symptoms of, or the items, what are the items that are necessary to make you happy. Then if you make a chart of a difficult situation, right? What are the items you will first show in the chart of the difficult situation? You will have what? Discomfort, you will have disease, you will have distress, you will have bad relationship. You have so many difficult situations, therefore your life is going through a distress. You have a bad relationship. Like when Ganga Devi divorced Shantanu. You know, those days also there were divorces. Because why Shantanu had a breach of contract? You know, he asked the source, and therefore Ganga disappeared. In the sense, she divorced Shantanu. So we have Bhishma Pitama in that. And then Satyavati takes another husband, Shantanu. So Parashar Muni, from him, she gets Bhishma Pitama. Anyway, that's another thing. But what I'm saying, trying to say, is that there is distress and there is happiness. So in the happy condition, we have all these factors. We have good health, good harmonious relationships and everything. And then we have the other situation. What is missing in the happy situation is that we don't surrender to God. So it's like a godless society. There is no God. When it's a distressed situation, difficult situation, there is surrender to God. There is something which now we are looking at, oh God. Like if you go by car from here to Pune, you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But suppose the car is dropping from the cliff. You know, there's very twining road, right? Have you been to Pune or any Ghat area? If the car is dropping off the cliff, then how will your chanting will be? You'll be chanting with utmost sincerity and humility. God, please save me from this difficult situation, right? So we don't feel the danger. Like suppose there is rain, there is mosquitoes, there are thieves outside. So what we do? We take shelter of an apartment. Why do we take shelter of the apartment? We say shelter. In the shastras, we always say, take ashray of the Harinam, take ashray of the Achya Vigraha, take ashray of Gurudev, take ashray of the Vaishnavas. What it means? Ashray means shelter. So, why do we need shelter? Because, as in a material world, we understand that if you don't take shelter of the apartment or a house, what will happen? There is danger outside. Even mosquitoes, you know, there is danger. So, we take shelter of the griha. So, we have grihasthita ashram. Grihasthita ashram. Ashram means where you are taking ashray, shelter. So the shelter word, which is used very much in the shastras, it means ashray. You take shelter. So we take shelter because we know that there is danger outside. But as long as we don't feel the danger, we do not take shelter of the holy name, or we do not even bow down to the Lord. We don't take sharanagati nahi hai, no surrender. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 11th chapter, 29 to 32 describes, I was reading it in the library yesterday, describes all the good qualities, 28 good qualities of a saint. So here the word saint comes, and I was wondering what are the qualities and what is the shastric documentation of the good qualities of a saint or a devotee or a Vaishnava. So the 17th item is Sharanagati. And the others, so that means the primary quality of a Vaishnava is surrender, shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's the main primary quality of a Vaishnava. The others are secondary. That means everything includes in that Sharanagati or that surrender. So the other 27 qualities are included in this surrender aspect of the Lord. So we have to understand the Prahlad Charitra, you know, as a case, and we have to learn what are the qualities that we realize and what we can bring in our own life. So the first quality that comes to my understanding is that Shri Prahlad You know, he has been tortured. Tortured means somebody wants to kill you, you know. It's not torturing. It's a trident. If somebody comes and attacks you, what do you will say, okay, no problem, you know, you are a great person, kill me, no. And you will have vengeance. You will try to take revenge. Right or wrong? If somebody wants to kill you, you will not forgive him. But here we see Shri Prahlad Maharaj has the great capacity to forgive his father. The person who is pulling out his sword and challenging him, today show me what's the source of your power. When he failed, totally he failed actually. He couldn't do anything with Shri Prahlad. He couldn't kill him either by poison, either by fire, either by dropping him from the cliffs, putting him under the mad elephants. Nothing could touch him. The poisonous snakes, they said that the snakes can even turn the hard stone into ashes. But the same snakes, they were bleeding because their poisonous teeth couldn't touch Shri Prahlad's body, the skin even. So that is the potency of a devotee who is fully surrendered to the Lord. The Lord always protects. The Lord says, Parithanaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha dushkitam, dharma samasthapanarthaya, sambhavami yuge yuge. So actually the main purpose is not to kill the demons, but the main purpose is to protect his devotee. So he will appear, and the question is, why should he appear? I mean, he has several agents. Why many questions come up that why the Lord has to himself appear? There's a small story, you know. Since I am from the Arab world or the Muslim country, I wanted to talk to you about some Arab or Muslim rulers like Akbar. Akbar had a son, Salim. And they were going on a Nauka Bihar. You know, a joyride on a boat, on a river. And Salim also said, Papa, main bhi aata hun. So he also joined the ruler, Akbar. And what happened was that, I mean, Akbar, he doesn't go alone, you know. His parshads are there, his security, his soldier, guarding in front, in behind, everywhere they are protecting or trying to protect the ruler. So, but somehow or the other, there was a small wave and then Salim fell in the river. So immediately, Akbar dived and saved his son. So now the acharyas or some of the devotees can think, why did Akbar had to dive? He had, in a snap of the finger, the soldiers could have dived and saved his son, but why he himself had to do? Because out of love. So Bhagwan appears out of pure love of his devotee. He doesn't have to. But so this small example really shows that why the Lord himself appears. It is just out of pure love of his devotee. He has no other business. Actually, his pastime is to reciprocate that loving exchange. You know, love is not one way. It is two ways. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue between the Lord and his devotee. So that is the nectar the Lord wants to experience. And that's why he himself appears. In this case, Shri Prahlad was challenged. After all this, his failure, his ministers. There is a place in Andhra called Simhachalam Desh. Achalam means fixed. Chalam means moves. Achalam means which cannot move, fixed. So Simhachalam means, Simhachalam also is called as Lion Giri or Singha Giri. Giri means mountain. So that entire range is Simhachalam. We had the great fortune to go there. What happened was, so when Prahlad was, you know, bound by the Naga Sharp, you know, the ropes of the Nagas. And he was actually meditating and preaching to his fellow classmates. So That means one quality of Prahlad is that he is tolerant, he is equipoised, he doesn't have any fear in distress or happiness, and he's all the time in a preaching mood. He wants to preach the glories of the Lord. And so when he was preaching during the recess in the class to his fellow demon classmates, peer group, then actually the question came up that why, how come he has this knowledge of bhakti and this detachment, yukta vairagya. He talks about, you know, to his fellow classmates that because I have seen my father, who is the ultimate of materialistic life. He has everything. His name is Hiranyakashipu, means he is full of wealth, and in the material world, people are enjoying sex. So Hiranyakashipu is a model of wealth and sex life. Kashipu means soft bed where you can have and enjoy sex life. So there are so many instances when Prabhupada was asked that you are a devotee or a sannyasi, do you think there is sex life after death? You know, people are worried that after death what happens. Their concern is there sex life after death? Not whether there is any seva or purification. No, not like that. The paschata world, even today, our consciousness is so much sense enjoyment. So he said that my father will not last long. It is dukhalayam ashashvatam. So you demon kids, you know, you should develop a detachment from this matter. And he was giving them spiritual knowledge and the danger of attachment to this material world. So he was very fearlessly preaching, and then the Shukracharya's two sons, they were his teacher, Amarka and Shanka. What's his name? Do you remember? Yeah. So these two children of Shukracharya, they were worried. There must be some Hare Krishna devotees, you know. Somehow they are smuggled into our Gurukul, and they must be teaching him about Harikatha, and privately he is listening and he is able to gain this spiritual knowledge, and he is poisoning or brainwashing our fellow students. So at that time they were watching him, and then in the night Shri Prahlad went into a trance and he was thinking of the pastimes of the Lord. And so they thought that he is unconscious. It's a good time to catch him and throw him in the ocean. So they put him on Nagpasha, and then they took him to a high mountain, which I am talking about, the Simhachalam Desh. So they went into a high mountain and threw him, and then they dropped a big mountain also on top of him, so that he doesn't have a chance to come up. So you know, when Prahlad's mind was not about his life, but he was thinking, oh my God, in my heart I have Sri Hari, and if I have multiple fracture, there is no problem. But if Sri Hari has multiple fracture, that was his anxiety. So imagine the devotee's concern about how to protect the Lord also. And the Lord protects the devotee, and the devotee always protects the Lord and Guru. So, actually Sri Hari appeared and he took the form of Varaha, and Prahlad actually witnessed that form of Varaha who killed Hiranyaksha, his uncle. And he prayed and he desired that this form to be eternally present, so that as an Archa Vigraha, so that people can get the benefit of worshipping. So if you go to Simhachala, you will find this unique form of Varaha Narasimha. It's a combined form of Varaha. The face is Varaha and the feature is of
of Simha, lion. It has a tail and everything. And of course, so it's a very Ugra roop. That means very fearful feature of the Lord. And it is so fierce that it has to be, the Lord has to be cooled down every day by the layer of Chandan. That means 364 days he is applied every day Chandan lip. And then only on one day, which is Akshay Tritiya, on Akshay Tritiya day you can get a full darshan of Varaha Narasimha. So you can plan to go to this Simhachala Desh on Akshay Tritiya day, then you can get the full darshan of Varaha Narasimha Dev. Bhagavan Varaha Narasimha Dev ki. So we are talking about Shri Prahlad's qualities of a devotee. The first of all, he has the implicit faith. Do you know what is implicit faith? Shraddha. In English, it is implicit faith. Like example, suppose if you give a seed to a farmer, the seed to a farmer, what will the farmer do with the seed? He will plant and put water and cultivate. So here also sochan means we also have to cultivate bhakti. We have to also understand this cultivation business. So a farmer, he has implicit faith. That means the seed has all the ingredients inside, and if he just waters the seed, there will be manifestation of a tree. So that is implicit faith. But if you give that seed to me, I will interfere. I will interfere. I will not give attention. So there is a difference between giving attention by watering the seed and there is an interference. When there is an interference, you don't grow. Like if suppose someone is interfering with your devotion, he is doubting every time, then your devotion is not growing. But if somebody pays attention to you, then that seed of devotion will grow. You need attention for devotional growth. It's a creeper, Bhakti Lata Beej. Bhakti Lata Beej, why it is Lata? Lata means a creeper, you know. A creeper cannot stand on its own. So we also cannot stand. The Lata needs the trunk of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, if you don't have the trunk, the creeper cannot grow. So Bhakti Lata Beej means Lata. Lata means a creeper which needs always support. Otherwise, without the support, the creeper cannot grow. So what we were talking? Implicit faith. So Prahlad, Shri Prahlad has that Shraddha, which is the foundation of bhakti. If you see, bhakti stands on what? Implicit faith, Shraddha. When you have Shraddha, what happens? Sadhu Sangha. The next stage is that you then go to the next stage of Sadhu Sangha. Today, we are having the Sadhu Sangha. Why? Because you all have that implicit faith. Without that Shraddha, there is no Sadhu Sangha. So when you have Sadhu Sangha, what happens? Bhajana Kriya. Means you are progressing. You take initiation, you start chanting the Harinam. And then when you start Bhajana Kriya, what happens? Anartha Nivritti, all your anarthas are eradicated. So what are the anarthas? Yes, so greed, anger, lust, pride, envy, illusion. All these anarthas are mitigated. You can marjanam. And then after the anartha nibriti, what happens? Steadiness, nishtha. You get steadiness, you get fixed. And then with the nishtha, when you do bhakti with that steadiness, what happens? You develop a higher taste, ruchi. Ruchi comes after nishtha. And then comes Ashakti. That means the sweetness. You are attached. Now you are attached. Now you get attached to this good habit. So when you have bad habits, then your performance is the best. You know, a difficult time, your performance is the best. Like my friend Murari, you know, from his example, he is sitting here, my friend. He is from Rajasthan, a businessman. You know, when he came to Bombay, he had a lota and a rag. He didn't have anything. But he had the faith in God and the hard work. He performed big hard work, but he had the faith in God. So what happened was that his humility was there. All these devotional qualities manifested in him. Because he had the Shraddha, but he was going through a difficult situation. So when you are in a difficult situation, you give your best performance. Right or wrong? Have you come to a situation of difficult situation any time in your life? In a difficult situation, your performance is the best. Right or wrong? You give your best when you are in difficult situation. You chant with humility. You are more humble. When you are having good time, you become lazy. You develop a paunch like me. You become lazy. You become arrogant. You become proud of your wealth. You know, Adbhut Giridhari Prabhu was saying that when you have power and position, that source is, he says, voltage, high voltage. And high voltage is wealth. When you have wealth, then you are connected to a high voltage. And then you hanker for more high voltage. And then you are never satisfied. So you are, good situation is not really good unless you continue with the same qualities what you experience in difficult situations. When you are in difficult situation, what happens? What happens? You are not lazy. You are very alert. You are focused. You are proactive. You are not reacting. You are proacting. You know? So your downtime of your body is very less. You know, in our engineering language, we talk about preventive maintenance, corrective maintenance, proactive maintenance, reactive maintenance of a machine, which you need to be always functional, you know. And the machine should have a very small response time. When you want some service, immediately you are ready. That's called response time. What's your response time to be ready for Mangalarati? Some people like me, we are very lazy because we are having a good situation. So when you are in a good situation and bad situation, we saw that when you are in a bad situation, your performance is the best. Your response time is very low, 24 seconds. What it means is that suppose you have a car. You have a car. That car can go to a speed of 100 kilometers in 24 seconds. What does it mean? That means it has a very good response time. That means it is able to reach that speed in a very short time. So similarly, when you are in a difficult situation, your response time is very good. Everything is good. Like Kunti Devi, she's praying that, "Oh my Lord, give me distress so that I never forget you." In distress, she explains how her sons were protected all the time, you know, in the Lakshagraha, in the poison, in the war. Every situation the Lord protected. And the Lord now wants to go to Dwarka, and she says, "No, my Lord, if you are separated from me, I will not be able to tolerate." She says, "Give me distress. In the distress, my performance is the best." Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. This verse came by Srimati Kunti Devi at that point of time when she is experiencing the separation from the Lord. So separation from the Lord
and that anxiety in Kunti Devi, she is able to practice the same thing in good time. So our aim should be to practice what we have achieved or develop the qualities in distress in the good time also. That is our aim. I think we have to move fast. There are a lot of things which we have to cover. But let's see, Shri Prahlad, how did he get this opportunity to witness the Lord face to face? I was reading Narasimha Puran yesterday in the library, and I was looking for Shastric evidence of what did Prahlad do to get into the womb of Kayadu. What did he do? He must have done something to get into the womb of Kayadu. His father Hiranyakashipu performed penances, as you all know, and due to which Lord Brahma gave that benediction by which he became almost an immortal. Nobody can kill him. And with that power, he terrified the three worlds and he became the Lord, and he was lording over all the living entities in the heavenly planets, in the middle planets, and in the Patal Lok. So all the 14 planetary system were under his. He colonized the entire 14 planetary system, which is the material universe. Heavenly planet is not something which we are aspiring. So in the Narasimha Puran, the description is that Hiranyakashipu went for a second penance. The first penance, he got power. Now he developed the taste of power and he wants to do a second penance so that he becomes more powerful. And then the devatas and Lord Brahma got terrified, you know. They said, oh, this is terrible, you know, he's already so powerful. Even if he lifts his eyebrow like this, the devatas disappear and take the human form to hide from him. That's what devatas were doing. They were so much in anxiety that they had to leave their heavenly planets and take human forms to hide from Hiranyakashipu. So, he went to Kailash, Mount Kailash, and he was doing this penance, started by doing the penance, and then in the meantime, Narada Muni, who is the child of Brahma, appeared to Lord Brahma because he was in anxiety. The son's duty is to fulfill the father's desire, like Lord Ramchandra. He was every day touching the feet of Dasharath, not like us, pau paru, you know, ritualistic. But Lord Ramachandra was surrendering to Dasharath with full humiliation. And he was ready to fulfill any instruction of his father. That is how we should pay obeisances to our parents, to get their instructions and to be ready at any time to serve. That is what Lord Ramachandra showed us. And Narada Muni followed the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra and he fell at the feet of Brahma. And he said, I will solve this. So his friend Parvat Muni, you know, you need a friend, you know, you have to gang up against gundas. So he ganged up with Parvat Muni, because Narad Muni and Parvat Muni, they are friends. So they went to the Mount Kailash and they took the form of two sparrows and they started reciting Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. This was very disturbing to Hiranyakashipu, you know. He couldn't continue his penance. They stopped after three times reciting. So Hiranyakashipu immediately took the bow and arrow and aimed at these two birds, but they disappeared. Now, he became very angry And you know, kama and krodh, they are interrelated. Kama yasha, krodha yasha. So, he became angry and got agitated, and he thought he will go to his palace. And then he had in short union with his wife, Kayadu. While he was having the union, he remembered the mantra, Om Namo Narayana. So, unconsciously, when you chant the Lord's name, what is that called? Namabhash. There is Namaparad, Namabhash, and Shuddhanam. So, there are three stages of taking the holy name, right? But obviously, he was not doing Namaparad. He was doing unconsciously. So, therefore, it is Namabhash. And he was chanting the name Om Namo Narayana. So, we all know that there is a Garbhadhan Samaskar, no? Purification at the embryo stage. So when we perform Garbhadhan Samaskar, then the Lord sends a devotee Atma into the womb of our family. That's what happened. So Prahlad, in 7th canto, in 7th chapter, if you read the whole 7th chapter, Narada Muni is explaining to the Devas, look, don't destroy the embryo. This is not a demon embryo. Come on. This is a pure soul, a devotee embryo. So you know that Narada Muni has information that this child is already a devotee. You know, already a ready-made material, you know, ready for initiation. Already practicing Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivriti, Nishtha, Ruchi, at that level he is already there. So he actually clarified that he is already a pure soul. Actually devotee means pure, you know. Like when you say water, water is pure, right or wrong? You don't say contaminated water, you know, you want to drink, you say water, you don't say, so water is always pure, like that, a devotee is pure, so we don't have to say pure devotee, devotee is like water is pure. So he is already a devotee in the womb of Kayadu, and he had all the Garbhadhan Samaskara, and then what happened was, that he got a spiritual master, right, Narada Muni instructed, when Kayadu was heavily pregnant, you know, pregnant mothers fall asleep, right? So same way Kayadu, when Bhagavatam was being recited, Katha, she was sleeping because, you know, she was heavily pregnant. Most of the time she was sleeping. But Prahlad was attentive in the womb of the mother. So I have some qualities of Shravanam, you know. So the Shravanam, what he was doing was like the Chatak bird, it hankers for the rainwater. It doesn't want to drink any water. He's hankering. So Prahlad was hankering like the Chatak. He had the wisdom like a swan to separate material essence and Krishna conscious essence. So he had that knowledge or the wisdom like the swan to separate the essence of Krishna consciousness. He had the memory like the parrot Sukha. He could memorize and repeat. That quality Prahlad had. And he had the faith and love for Krishna. We call in Mathura Desh, we have Bhakti Viksha program, you know. Because we don't have the opportunity to do book distribution, campus preaching. So what do we do? How do we preach? So Guru Maharaj has given us a very good technique or a tool. We have two ways. One is Namahatta, which is like Gaur Katha, not very high philosophy. Gaur Katha and Bhajan, and the four regulative principles, and how to do the Pancharatrika Vidhi, and also Bhagavad Vidhi. So the Navvidhi Bhakti is the first three parts are Bhagavad Vidhi, and the last parts are Pancharatrika. That means how to worship.
the vigraha, archanam, vandanam. So these are pancharatrika vidhi.
So in Mathura Desh, we have in all the grihasthas an altar, you know, so that they get the opportunity to do vigraha seva. And by that, the devotion enhances. So every house is a temple in Mathura Desh, initiated and sheltered candidates. So we have about 5,000 devotees in spread over Oman. Oman is a size of UK, United Kingdom. But the population is 3 million, the locals, and the expatriate is about 800 to 1 million. So the total is about 4 million. That means 25% of the population is expatriates, foreigners. So the means of prachar is Bhakti Bhiksha, means that we have modules and we have house programs. That means if you call your friends, they will come. But if you call unknown people, they will not come. So the idea is to care and love living entities. And that is possible when you have friendship. People will come to a program only if you think that he or she is your friend. Otherwise, they will not come. So, like Chanaka Pandit, he says that when you open your mouth, you consider three items. The first item is that make sure that you are telling the truth. Second item is that you have to be sugarcoating, very sweet. Don't be rude. Don't be arrogant at any situation. You do your seva, but you have to somehow or the other control your anger and be tolerant. Because somehow we don't know the full picture. What is the Lord's plan? We don't know. So we have a small picture and we become arrogant. We become, you know, that we want to take revenge. We have vengeance. That I'm not going to be happy unless that devotee is punished. Prahlad Maharaj is not like that. His father is torturing him, killing him, but he wants to forgive him. But we devotees, we have that tendency of being, you know, we have that vengeance. We are not satisfied. Oh, that devotee must suffer, you know. He hurt me so much that I will be very happy if I become the agent of giving him the suffering also. Not only that he suffers, but I want to be the agent to give him the suffering. Many times we feel like that, right? But that is a negative thing. We will also suffer. That thought itself is negative. So Prahlad Maharaj says that you purify my Lord, my Father. So purification, yes. We must desire that, okay, that so-and-so devotee has given me suffering, tortured me. Should I think of giving him suffering? No. What should I think? That my Lord, please purify him. In a joyful way. Otherwise, our Bhaktilata Beej will not grow. So our mood should be that yes, we want him to transform, but not by giving him suffering, but by purifying him. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. In this incarnation, he wants to transform people, not by killing, not by suffering, giving them suffering. In a joyful way, Srila Prabhupada has given us chant, dance and feast. That is bhakti. So if you see all our vigraha, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, what is their feature? They are ready to dance, if you see. They are ready to dance. So the devotees also should feel that I want to dance. And I am very happy on the floor of this temple to see that the devotees are dancing and chanting and feasting. That is what we have to aspire. And there should be no contamination in our heart to give sufferings to any living entities. So, in Mathura Desh, our mood is to love and care. And that is possible when we call and make house programs
our own friends in business, in office, we have to see if they are favorable, and then we have to preach to them in a more deeper level. And slowly we have to distribute like Prahlad. That is the mood. So, listening, Shavanam is one of the items in Kirtanam of Navvidhi Bhakti, that is Bhagavat Vidhi or Vaidhi Bhakti. And then the Pancharatrika Vidhi also is important when we get Brahman initiation, then we can do Archavigraha. So, the Lord has five aspects. Para. Para means the original form of the Lord, which you are not in a situation to constantly witness. Constantly, only in the spiritual planet you can see face to face the Lord. Right? That para, Shri Krishna, the original form. The other form is called Vyuha or the Chaturvyuha, his direct expansion. And then the third aspect of his expansion is called Vaibhav. Vaibhav means, like Narasimha Dev appeared for how many hours? Maybe, I don't know, 2 hours, 3 hours. He finished his job and wound up and disappeared. So these kind of appearances are called as Vaibhav aspect of expansion. The fourth aspect of his expansion is Paramatma expansion. The Paramatma feature is in our hearts, in all living and non-living entities. He is there in the Paramatma feature. That's the fourth aspect of his expansion. And the fifth aspect of his expansion is Archavigraha. Why in this material world Archavigraha is important as Pancharatrika Vidhi? Because we get the opportunity to serve the Lord in that mood of loving exchange. When we do Archanam, Vandanam, we are exchanging loving emotions, and that He is present in this Vigraha form. So He is so merciful that He is present in this Vigraha form. In Kheturi Gram, in East Bengal, the first Archavigraha of Gauranga Mahaprabhu was installed. The golden form of the Lord was installed for the benefit of us, so that we can worship Him. In all the Shastras, the nichor, or the essence of all the Shastras, is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And in that 18 chapters, the nichor, the essence, is the 9th chapter. And the essence of the 9th chapter is Shloka 9.34. Krishna is milking the cow. Arjuna is the calf. And Harinam and the Sankirtan is happening. So, what I was talking about? Yes. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So there are four items. This shloka appears two times, also in the 18th chapter. So manmana means always think of me. Manmana bhava madbhakto. So the essence of all the scriptures is in 9.34. There are four items. The formula of becoming a devotee is that you constantly think of the Lord. Manmana bhava. And become His devotee, madbhakto. Mam yaji means worship me. Mam namaskuru, pay obeisances. So Prahlad was sent by the demigods because they were so terrified with the Lord's appearance that they couldn't come near the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj was sent because everybody knew that he had a loving relationship. He was in a prema stage. So the 9 items
Ashakti, Bhava, and then Prema. Prema is the ninth item. And Prahlad was in the Prema stage. Spontaneous love. Raganuga Bhakti. So he was sent, and he, what did he do? He paid full obeisances. Pranipat. Namaskuru. Like if you take a stick and drop the stick, how does it fall? Flat. So, Namaskuru means that's how we have to do Pranipat. Full obeisances. But I have seen many people have spiritual spondylitis. You know spondylitis? What is that spondylitis? You have that collar, you know. You cannot bend. Have you seen people having spondylitis? They have a collar in their neck and they cannot bend. So what is spiritual spondylitis? You come to the temple floor and you cannot pay obeisances. You just say like this and then go. Because you don't have the humility to bow down. So that's Acharyas, they say it is spiritual spondylitis. That's a disease. We do not know how to do Namaskuru. So the four items are very important. That means constantly think. Even Bhagavatam, what does it say? Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahituki apratihata. Ahituki means there is no hetu. Savai pumsam paro dharmo means the highest religion is that you pay and worship the lotus feet of the Lord. And how must you worship? Ahituki apratihata. Pratihata means break. Apratihata means no break. Constantly, continuously. So think of him constantly. And ahituki means no material desire, like Prahlad. He has no material desire. The Lord wants to give him material benediction, but he says, no, I don't want. He is spitting on that benediction. He says, if you at all you want to give me some benediction, O my Lord, the previous verse, please, pardon, forgive my father. Look at that humility of a devotee. So we cannot reach that level, but at least we have to aspire that if we are made to suffer by somebody, then what our mood should be? That please, my Lord, purify him, but not desire that I be the agent or somebody be the agent and made him suffer. In a joyful way, the desire should be that purification should be done in a joyful way, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picks up the last shloka of the 18,000 shlokas in Srimad Bhagavatam. What does it say? I think we don't have time, no? Nama Sankirtanam Yascha Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukha Samaha Tam Namami Harim Param. So what's the last shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam? This is the last shloka. Nama Sankirtanam Yascha Sarva Papa Pranashanam. So when we chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. So when we chant with humility and without offense, in the association of devotees, we must remember this. We have to be very careful. Srila Prabhupada has given us a slogan. And what is that slogan? Practice devotional service under the guidance of somebody always. Teach one. Under the guidance of one. So we shouldn't think, now I know, so I am now independent. So then we'll fall down. Each one, teach one, under the guidance of one. That means we always should have shelter of a senior devotee who can always guide us, chastise us.
Otherwise, we'll be off track. And if we don't do it, we'll become, from a devotee, we'll become a non-devotee, for sure. So we have to take instructions, seek instructions all the time. And the moment we stop doing it, then we are on a declining or a degradation stage. So we covered Shri Prahlad's mood. We covered in this yuga how we do Nama Sankirtan. Now, Nama Sankirtan is a yagna, right? So the yagna, you need, what do you need for a yagna? You need pure ghee, right? Or no? So Sankirtana yagna also needs three items. You need a spoon, you know. You need the fire. And you need what? Ghee. And you need a brahmana, of course, the spiritual master. So what are the three items for Sankirtana yagna? Harinam, yes, that's the pure ghee. So when you do pure chanting, Shuddhanam, then the yagna is good. There is no smoke. But if you have aparad or namabhash, Harinam, then what will happen? There will be only smoke, no fire. And then your body will become full of smoke and, you know, dark. There will be no effulgence. There will be contamination. Although we do, but there is some, definitely there is an effect and impact, but it is not going to give you the result. So the in the yagna, the yagna kunda is the ear. Yagna kunda is, and the spoon is the tongue. So you are actually pouring the ghee in the havan by the spoon, right? So the tongue is the spoon, the pure ghee is Harinam, and the havan is your ear. So the more we do pure chanting in the association of devotees, the better the result is in this Kali Yuga. And I think time is over, right, Prabhu? Time is over. So maybe a short this for questions. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
You said that there are three points to be considered before speaking.
Yes.
Point number one, you said, is always speak the truth.
Yes.
Point number two, you said, is speak sweet. Yeah. But point number three, I think I did not get it past. You missed out or something.
That's a good question. So the point number three is that the person to whom you are speaking or imparting the knowledge transfer, or you are sharing a knowledge, should realize the benefit of what you are imparting to him. If he doesn't realize the benefit, or you think he's not favorable, he will not then realize the benefit, then you better keep your mouth shut. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. One more question.
Yes, Prabhu.
You also spoke that you know, in life we try to take revenge, for example, when somebody hurts you.
Yes.
And in case if you have taken a revenge, and then again, but you realize later that you have done wrong. Now, how do you overcome this situation?
Say again, once more.
For example, somebody has, let's say A and B, there are two persons.
Yes.
A has hurt B.
Yes.
Now, B takes a revenge with A. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happens? B realizes later that he should not have hurt A.
So he is repenting.
So he is feeling uncomfortable. Now he wants to overcome the situation, perhaps with A.
Right.
How does it happen?
Yeah. So forgiveness and repentance,
both are important actually. So one who wants to forgive, there has to be a repentance. That means he's feeling guilty that what I have done is not as per the Vaishnava Sadachar, Vaishnava etiquette. And this will give me bandhan, or it will give me suffering. There will be a reaction on my side. So he has to repent. He should feel sorry. And then the next is, of course, the forgiveness part. I did not really understand your question. What's the difficulty in forgiving? Because you are already repenting, then you can forgive.
Now the question is like that. If A has hurt B, yes, and B takes a revenge with A,
okay,
B has taken a revenge with A.
Okay.
Now B realizes in a later part of life that he should not have done with A. So B feels uncomfortable right,
yes,
now.
Yes.
So how does B overcome with this situation?
See, the essence is, of course, you know, if there is a difficulty, in each case, it's different case, Prabhu. So, we can talk about the essence of the nature, but the details, because each case can be different, so we must then approach a senior devotee and take the case. Because if you see in a judgment, there is always two parties heard, you know. Two parties always heard before a decision is given. Same thing applies to the spiritual world also. So we have some difficulty in tolerating, pardoning, mitigating the problem. Then we take the matter to our next levels, who is more senior, to get instructions. So that is the essence, and and if that fails, then finally we go to the spiritual master, and his decision is final. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you was mentioned about purification forefather. Forefather.
Okay. Yes.
So question is, after getting that purification, that purification, it will be remaining forever, forever or for some time?
For elder or?
This getting purification, so this purification, it will be remaining forever or for some time?
Yeah, purification will remain forever, because see, now we know for sure Prahlad's father was who? Hiranyakashipu. So what happens to Hiranyakashipu? He takes birth again, right? As Hiranyakashipu takes two more births, Jai Vijay. What is his next life? Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Then from Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they become Shishupalan Dantavakra. So the purification is the essence. How it happens, it can be in details, in different case to case. But we must always understand the essence. The Siddhant is that they will purify. How, when, how long, that depends on their past karma also. So it is not same or equal for all. So like that we must understand that what the Lord speaks, purification, is absolute. So since we know the case of Prahlad and his father, we know what happens to his father. Therefore, you can interpret in a deeper level. And so a devotee's aspiration is not liberation into the Vaikuntha planets or to the Brahma Jyoti or to the heavenly planets. But the devotee's aspiration is to go to Golok, back to Godhead, in the spiritual sky, which is the highest Golok, which is above the Vaikuntha planets. So purification, in that sense, is what the Lord is giving the benediction, purification. Why? We are not talking about liberation, because liberation means that you become equal in roop, or you can go to the Vaikuntha lake, same nivasi, or you can have the wealth, same, or
you know, you can become his constant companion, Samipya. So it means that these four aspects are in the Vaikuntha planet. And that's why a devotee is not asking for these four types of liberation. The fifth one is Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi. Bhukti means by doing pious activities you go to heaven. And Mukti means here Sahujya Mukti. So there are these four aspects of Vaikuntha Mukti, and then the another aspect of Bhukti, Mukti and Siddhi. So Bhukti is heaven destination, Mukti is Sahujya, you merge into Brahmajyoti, and then Siddhi is you get mystic powers, yogic powers. So devotee's aim is purification. The purification, why? Because we want to eventually get a visa, resident card for Golok Vrindavan. If you aspire for liberation, then you don't get. Then you get stuck at the higher Vaikuntha planets. You cannot migrate from that planet to other. Because that's your desire is to get liberation. So purification is what a desire of a devotee is all the time. That means Cheta Darpana Marjanam. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Hare Krishna.
You were mentioning about the example of you were mentioning that flooding the paddy field.
Yes.
Can you please explain what it
okay.
means?
You see, when you want to cultivate, we get out of great fortune, Guru Krishna Kripa, we get the Bhaktilata Beej, right? Right, out of causeless mercy, we get that seed of bhakti. So, we have to cultivate. So, when it comes to cultivation, means we have to be careful of the weeds and watering the seed. If you read Giriraj Swami Maharaj's book, Watering the Seed, have you read that book? It's a wonderful book. It's actually talking about how to do cultivation. You know, in our shastras, we always talk about cultivation. So you have to be a farmer, actually, you know. To be a devotee, you should be a farmer. Because a farmer knows how to protect the seed, how to water the seed. So, particularly, the paddy seed, the kisan knows that if there is a weed around the paddy, then the paddy will not grow. It will not be nourished. And the fruits of that labor will be not effective. So if you want to achieve 100% labor, fruit of your labor, then you must eradicate the weeds, anarthas. So the anarthas, when you chant, the anarthas also get watered. So how to do that is that you completely immerse in the water the seed, then the weeds get suffocated and the grass as weeds cannot grow nearby. So that's why you flood the field with water to suffocate the weeds, anarthas. So when you are talking about the seed of bhakti in us, in our heart, then we are talking about flooding or immersing fully in devotional service so that there is no chance of anartha as a weed being cultivated along the chanting or the watering the seed. Is that okay? Hari Bol, Hari Krishna. Any more comments or maybe the last question?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, it was said by Narasingdev ji to Prahlad Maharaj, since you are performing devotional service and since Prahlad Maharaj was a very pure devotee, so 21 generations are liberated if a pure devotee happens to perform devotional service. So in this case, the people who are his ancestry, do they also have to perform the same level of devotional service? Or how is the mode? How does it go through?
You mean the benediction is only for forefathers? Why not down the line?
The 21 generations get liberated.
Yeah.
They also have to perform the similar kind of a devotional service they have to perform. Or what is the case? Do they get a higher birth? How does the process
is
go through?
As I said, the essence is what we have to understand, you know. Because, each living entity...
see the jivatma is a jiva shakti, and if you see panchatattva, the Lord is the original shakti para. Then his direct expansion, Nityananda Prabhu. Then from the expansion, there is further expansion, Advaita Acharya. Right? So you can see these three expansions are Vishnu Tattva. So when you offer Tulsi, you don't offer to Gadadhar and Sivas. You have to be careful. So you offer only to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Gosai. Because they are Vishnu Tattva. Gadadhar and Srivas, Gadadhar is Srimati Radharani's expansion, Shakti. And Srivas is Jiva, like us. So they are Jiva Tattva. So Jiva Tattva is having a lot of impurities. So each case is different from each one. So the purification, what the Lord is giving benediction to Prahlad's forefathers, is what we have to understand is that material nature which is acting, the three gunas, the satagun, rajagun and tamagun on us, we are constantly in that turbulence, sometimes more of goodness, sometimes more of passion, sometimes more of... So these three gunas are all the time agitating us. And it is not fixed. More we associate with devotees, the goodness of mode of goodness increases. You know? If you take blood, you know, and then if in a test tube and you centrifuge, then you can see what's the water, what is the red blood corpuscles, you know. So if you take the blood of a person who is in the mountain range, you will see that his RBC or the red blood cells are more than us. Why? Because he is working hard all the time, going up and down. So his RBC is high, so his oxygen carrying capacity is high, so his stamina is high. So each one has different levels of gunas. So depending on that, the purification happens. So the benediction is that you will be purified. So you need, like in Damodar, Kartik month is coming. I think we have just started the Chaturmasya, 20th. What is the date today? 21st. So from 20th, yesterday, the Chaturmasya started. The 4 months. So, so I don't know, what was the topic? Yes, so the Damodar month is coming also. So Yashodama wanted to bind Krishna. She couldn't. Every time the rope was 2 fingers short. One is your effort and the other is Krishna's mercy. So that mercy has been given to Prahlad's 21 forefathers. Already the mercy is there. Now they have to make the effort. How much they will make effort, how much they will fall. A devotee's life is considered to be boxer in a boxing ring. You know, what happens in a boxing ring? There is a fight. And you fall down. But you are not declared defeated unless you refuse to get up. Correct? You can fall down. No problem. But if you refuse to get up, then you are declared defeat. So that particular forefather, he may fall down, but there is a mercy on him, but he has to make that effort, because that individual free will we have, and then how many births it will take, it all depends on that particular case. So we cannot generalize, but the essence is this, the Siddhant is this, that there is that kripa of the Lord, that the kripa is there, already granted because of the good favor or the good job done by somebody in the family. Like that, you know, we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because of his good fortune, his son-in-law, Amogha, you know that story? He gets a benefit also. So it's not, that's what Srila Prabhupada in this purport is saying, that it's an expansion. Even in the family, it's not just the forefathers, it expands. So it is not that it will happen only to the forefathers. It can expand in the family horizontally and vertically. So that's what in the purport Srila Prabhupada explains, that if there is a member of devotee in the family gets benefited, extended family or direct family. So you read Madhulila 15th chapter, 158 shlok, of how Sarvabhauma Vacharj gets the benefit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy by saving his son-in-law from cholera. Now these are very nectarian, you know, these case studies. And it helps us to establish more and more faith in the Lord that He really protects us from all our calamities. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki, Gurudev ki, Samvita Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nithai Gaur Chitanatra Manande, Hari 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 Bol.